Into the Blender, episode 36.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think.
You're listening to Into the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us each week discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to technology news.
And whatever else catches our fancy this week.
Hi everybody, this is Chooch.
And this is Viv.
How you doing?
Long time, no talk. It's been, you know, how we roll, chaotic. We've gone through some changes since we last talked about a month ago.
Yeah.
Keeping it very brief, LT has decided that he wants to live with his dad and spend more time with him.
Mm-hmm.
And his, you know, younger siblings and a new older sibling. And so lucky me, because my ex chose to move halfway across the country. When my kids want to spend time with their dad, that means they live in another state.
Yeah.
Way beyond driving distance, so.
We have an empty nest.
Yes, since M moved out to go to school and now LT is gone, we are suddenly and surprisingly alone with the dog. It's very quiet. It's very creepy quiet. But.
And then the cosmic irony, we have a full nest because the little family of finches decided to build a nest on our porch.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so we have baby birds pooping and all that stuff by their parents. I guess the babies aren't. Well, I'm sure they're pooping, but that's not what I'm seeing. That's staying in the nest. We got poop all over our porch from the mom and dad, and it's just fantastic. But yeah, so that's the change that we talked about last time. It's not an easy one. It's opened up some opportunities for us to pursue some other interests because we've got some more time now. But right now we miss the boys so much that it's hard to really try and take on anything new. So some things that we had planned to do, we've been postponing. We just don't have the gumption to to really get into anything right now. So. But we are still going to Dragon Con.
Yes.
Oh my God. We leave on Thursday. I'm so excited. Y'all, if it weren't for Dragon Con, I think I'd lose my mind. Although Biscuit and Cap did come out last weekend. And so it was, you know, LT left and then they came out this last weekend. And so it was really good and cathartic to have our buddies out here.
Yeah. And, well, and M came and hung out for the weekend.
I was so he wanted our internet. The internet where he's at is just really lame, and he had some raids he wanted to do in WoW. So, yay, our internet rocks! So he came home to quote spend time with us on the couch with his laptop playing WoW the whole weekend. It was fantastic. Well, it was cool because Biscuit and Kath play WoW, so they have a common language.
Then he hung out on the couch with us rather than holing up in the basement.
I know, which I thought was fantastic. He really did stay out with us the whole weekend on his laptop. I'll take it. I told you, I don't care. Just as I got to see my boys, you know. So it was really a good weekend and it ended way too soon.
Yeah. It always does.
Yeah. And tonight we're going to go see Lord of the Rings at Wolf Trap, which is like a performing arts center here with Balin, at Balin on Twitter, Kevin. And that'll be a lot of fun. The National Symphony Orchestra plays along. They play the...
So it's a projection of the two towers.
In HD.
Mm-hmm. So big screen projection of the movie with a live symphony orchestra and a chorus.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Doing the soundtrack.
I can't wait. The weather's really poopy, but we're in a covered location at Wolf Trap, so it should be humid, but fantastic. Yeah, orchestra, right?
Mm-hmm.
So really looking forward to that. And we didn't really get to spend any time with Balin at Balticon.
Yeah.
So it'll be cool to hang out with him, hopefully have dinner beforehand and visit with him a little bit. Get to know him better because he's good people.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we leave for Dragon Con on Thursday. Look out, Hotlanta, we're coming. We're staying at the Hilton. I want to see a Dr. Horrible screening. They're only on Fridays from what I can find in that huge schedule.
Yeah.
And the Parsecs are Saturday night at 7:00.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a panel that you're doing on Sunday right. in the podcasting room.
Sunday morning, yeah.
That, go ahead and explain what that is.
It's podcasts for gamers and gaming.
Yeah. They had a spot open up on the panel, only one spot. Yeah. So Chooch got on it. And so I will be sitting there sulking in the corner that I don't get to be on a panel at DragonCon. But I'm so happy for him. It's so exciting.
I can't wait. On the panel, Veronica Belmont and Tom Skerritt are on.
Yeah.
Sam Chupp is the chair or the, what do you call it?
The moderator.
The moderator.
Yeah.
Jack Jaffe is going to be on it. So it's going to be fun.
It is going to. I'm so excited. And to be fair, you did say, do you want to do it? And I was like, yeah. No, I don't want to do it without you. I get too shy and tongue-tied if Chooch isn't right there. So, yeah, it was easily. I mean, it just means so much to him to do it. And while I'm hoping, well, I'm not hoping, but it'd be cool if I got to be on the panel as well. But I'm just, it's such a cool rush that you're going to be on it. And we're rooming with P.G. Holyfield and Patrick McLean.
Yeah.
Oh, and I wanted to bring like Pandemic and maybe Munchkin Cthulhu and stuff like mm-hmm. that to see if anybody can find a minute or two to do some gaming, because like Thomas Gideon's going to be there and I know how busy he is. But
yeah.
I'm hoping we can at least sit down and have a drink with him somewhere. And True. What do people do about food at Balticon? Huh? Freudian slip. I can't wait for Balticon too. Like, I don't know if like people just eat at the hotels or if there's like little runoff places like at Balticon.
There's like 50,000 people. So that's a lot of bellies. So I'm sure there's plenty of food.
Yeah. I'm counting on that. I don't want to have to be hunting food down the whole weekend. I'm just so excited because there's so many things I want to see.
Yeah.
I just made it through Friday's schedule and I'm agog at the possibilities. And there's a guild viewing, a two and a half hour guild viewing where Felicia Day is going to be there, and I want to go to that too, and that's on Saturday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to kind of try and plot it out and see what we can do, and of course a lot of it for me is seeing friends and people like that, but from what I'm told, don't expect to see people because people get really off in different directions at Dragon Con, unlike Balticon. So trying not to get my hopes too much up to spend a lot of time with people. Lots to see though.
So remember a while back we started a contest to win a print of the Antithesis cover by J.D. Sawyer.
The saucy, sexy print.
That he designed and artisted, composited, photographed.
Wow.
Put together.
That is so staying in.
And you can win it if you entered.
Yeah. If you didn't win or fail.
So it officially closed. So the whole contest was to send us postcards. Very simple, very easy.
Mail us a postcard. Because I was greedy. And if we had to give away that beautiful print, I wanted something. Greedy Viv is greedy.
So we've been checking our post office box and we've tallied the entries.
And here's our winner. I'm trying to build the suspense like on all the TV reality shows. But yeah, we don't have And the winner is going to be announced right after this break. It's like 3 minutes.
In a world where you're waiting to hear the contest results.
Oh, we're sassy today. Just kidding. The winner is Mildred Cady.
All right.
Congratulations. We're going to get that in the mail for you this week. It's cute. She says, here is my entry for the artwork by the talented J. Daniel Sawyer. And she calls herself an Uber fan. So I'm glad that one of his Uber fans won.
Yes, that's so awesome.
Congratulations, Mildred.
Yeah.
And I love the postcard. It's way cute.
And thanks again to J. Daniel Sawyer for making this available to us.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. We shall give it up. The boys would have been sad, though. They would have loved to have seen that framed in our house. Saucy. Not pornographic or anything, but just a little saucy. Saucier than the other stuff we have hanging up, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we thought this episode, since it's been a while, we would talk about what we've been listening to.
Yeah, speaking of audiobooks and antithesis.
And awesome in our ears.
It's been a while since we've done kind of a check-in of what we've been listening to. And
seems like it's been at least a year, huh?
Could be.
Yeah. Well, you go ahead and start. What are you listening to right now?
Well, I just started, a little late to the party, Phil Rossi's Harvey.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I don't know, I guess it is a full novel. I wasn't sure if it was a novel or a novella. I guess Eden was a novella. I never did listen to Eden, which I need to go back and listen to.
The only thing of his I've listened to is Crescent, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit. I haven't heard any of his other stuff yet.
And then Harvey is, I didn't know what to expect. I knew there was something about him, a musician and a band. And I assumed Harvey was the musician or whatever. But Harvey's actually the name of the town that the story takes place in.
Okay.
And it's a bit of a horror thriller.
Is it really?
Yeah. And it's modern day. It's not sci-fi. It's definitely some supernatural. There's 8 episodes so far. Uh-huh. And just like his other stuff, great production, great music, you know, great sound quality, everything. And really fascinating story. It's a lot of interesting characters developing and stuff. It's been fun.
Very cool. That one's on my list. And Eden. And it looks like he's from his Twitter stream. It looks like he's writing something else now, like House on the Corner or something like that.
Yeah, he just started writing a new novel. He said, I think he said he's 13,000 words in. He's just started it last week.
Wow. Phew.
Yeah, and that was one of those make you feel like a slug tweets. So last week, he wrote 13,000 words on the new novel. He released a full episode of Harvey. He wrote a song, wrote and recorded a song, and he did something else. On top of his full-time day job.
A two-year-old.
And a very pregnant wife.
So, yeah, thanks for making us feel lazy. Much appreciated. Well, what I'm listening to right now is Singularity by Bill DeSmet, which I'm really enjoying.
Cool.
And you know me, I think I get a lot more enjoyment out of it when I've met the person and I've seen them. It sounds weird, but I've seen them talk. I hear their voice coming out of their head.
Sure.
Because then I feel like they're sitting in the car. Because I can only listen while I'm commuting. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they're sitting next to me reading their book. And I just freaking love that. So I really enjoy his reading style. He doesn't do, you know, an audio cast or anything like them. It's him reading it. But he does do some different voices. Nothing really crazy out there. But you can. He does use inflections and things to show different characters.
And that crazy Russian accent.
Man, he is fierce with that accent. I wonder if he actually speaks Russian.
Wouldn't be surprised.
It sounds really convincing. Now, if you've listened to Nathan Lowell's Solar Clippers series, I would liken it to that type of a reading style. Mm-hmm. He's not in your face with overdramatics.
Right.
It's a very good reading, but it's not overwrought, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Overacted or anything like that. There's lots of science. You know, when you've been working all day and you're driving your tired butt home and maybe had a workout and he's talking about all this physics and crazy stuff. It's fascinating subject matter, by the way.
Yeah.
Black holes and micro black holes and singularities and big brain stuff.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating, and I'm so
what blew me away is that he makes it really make sense.
He does.
It's really clear. It's sometimes you have to rewind a little bit.
Yeah. I've done that. Wait, what was that?
And if you follow that up with the Dr. Jack soapbox series, so in this novel in Singularity, there's Dr. Jack is one of the characters. Dr. Jack is actually a real life friend of Bill DeSmet's.
No way.
Who explained a lot of this science stuff. Not the exact character, but pretty close.
Holy cow.
And so after Singularity, he recorded, I think it's 10 episodes, and they're maybe a half hour long, lectures on all the physics of black holes. And it's all about the Tunguska event. The story is about the Tunguska event, which is this thing in the turn of the century, something happened. There's We don't know if it was a comet or what it was and all this stuff. And he opens the book with this major cataclysmic event.
Right.
And I thought it was just fiction and went back on Wikipedia and saw it was a real thing. It really happened.
Yeah.
And so the soapbox.
Because you started it before mm-hmm. Balticon.
Right.
You had actually had a conversation with the boys about it before yeah. Balticon. So when we were at Balticon and he was there in the room with us, I went running over going, oh my gosh, we had this great conversation. My husband loves mm-hmm. it and I haven't listened to it yet, but it's fantastic. And he's just such a cool, sweet, funny, yeah. funny guy. And then we went to his reading one of the mornings at Balticon and it was just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was really saddened because I asked him, okay, so are you selling your book in the dealer room? Because he didn't have any copies of it there. Right. And he said, oh, you know, you really can't get it anymore. You might find it on eBay, mm-hmm. which floored me that he was there doing a reading from a book that I can't get right. my hands on. Because I was going to go buy the damn book and bring it to him wherever he was and have him sign it. Because his reading just wowed me that much.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, because I've always loved space stuff and mm-hmm. I don't have a big enough brain to really understand a whole big chunk of it like some of our friends. Laura. And but I've always been fascinated by space yeah. and go, ooh, pretty at the stars from Hubble and stuff like that. But it just really hooked me.
Right.
And so I literally cannot find the book.
Right.
We are literally going to have to go to eBay to buy it, which I definitely plan on doing to get his awesome signature yeah. on.
Well, that's the thing about the Dr. Jack soapbox seminar, that it's probably turns out to be, I don't know, 6 hours, 8 hours or something of a lecture
yeah.
of all of the physics behind black holes and
wow.
naked singularities and what all the stuff. And it's the real actual science. So this physicist guy basically wrote this stuff and then Bill reads it in the character of Jack.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to add that.
It's fascinating. And the first half, you just breeze through and you absorb it and mm-hmm. and it's really interesting. Towards the end, I definitely had to play each episode two or three times because yeah. I'm like, wait, what?
And
how does that work?
And it really doesn't help when you're commuting and trying to yeah. you know, survive, run the gauntlet on the way home sort of thing.
But it's fascinating the way he breaks it down. It all
wow.
kind of makes sense.
I had no idea you didn't tell me that before.
I did.
I'm going to have to listen to this later to remember to add.
And
to
Will
list.
And I had, were talking about it because he started it. And
oh, Will's listening to it too?
A while back. He oh. finished it, yeah.
Oh. So you're always listening to more than one thing at once. What else are you listening to
yeah.
right now besides Harvey?
Well, I know both of us are listening to War.
Yes.
War, which is what?
Book
part five
yeah.
of the Heaven
season
series.
Five.
Season five.
She called them
Heaven.
Seasons.
And pretty cool.
I love
it's
it.
Really
no big
cool.
surprise. I knew I would, but
if you're familiar with any of the Heaven series, then you know War just rolls on through. But it is a bit different than the other ones.
Oh, I think she's definitely taken a departure with this mm-hmm. one, and I do want to say that, you know, her writing style just captivates me because it's almost conversational,
mm-hmm.
but not that casual. You know, mm-hmm. she's definitely relating a story to you, but she's not talking down to you like some people do.
Right.
And I think that has a lot to do with her personality. And mm-hmm. the other thing is that, you know, the subject matter for me, when I listened to season one of Heaven,
uh-huh.
I immediately felt at peace over a lot of the conflicts that I have across all of the religions.
Right.
Because Heaven is basically, okay, Heaven, but the concept, very watered down, simplified, paraphrased, is basically that Heaven exists for all religions.
Right.
And as long as you're true and faithful and follow the tenets of your religion, whatever it is, whether it's Catholicism or Lutheran or, you know, Greek mythology kind
or
of...
You're a dog,
exactly, or a cat, then you're going to go to heaven or hell or purgatory, depending on what your faith dictates.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me a lot of peace. Having just lost someone,
mm-hmm.
it really made me happy to imagine that it doesn't matter if she chose, quote, the wrong religion to follow. She wasn't
right.
going to be punished for that. She was true to her religion, so she was going to be in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So that really, like... Because we have friends that are pagans, we have friends that are atheists, we have friends Catholic, Christian, whatever.
It really covers the gamut. Yeah.
And that's one of the things that's always saddened me about religion is it's always, we're right, you're wrong, so you're going to burn in hell forever.
Right.
Yeah, I got a problem with saying, looking my best friends in the eyes and saying, okay, you guys aren't going to meet in the afterlife.
You picked wrong.
Right. You know? So that made me just so much at peace that I was instantly hooked. But she's done such fascinating things with it. And the thing that I like about the series, one of the things that I like about the series is that she really goes in depth with mythology.
Mm-hmm.
You really get a sense for the Norse gods and for right. the Greek and all of that stuff. But what she's done with war is, and she did it a little bit in Wasteland.
Right.
That was the fourth one, right?
Yeah.
Is she started creating her own mythology and mm-hmm. her own religion as Daniel and Kate have made these things happen, triggered these events. And so now in war, we have this whole and complete bubble of mythology and religion.
Yeah.
And it's just so richly layered and
well, this pantheon of multiple gods that cover yes. all sorts of different aspects.
It's just fascinating. I'm so into it. And you now, didn't you tell me that it was twice as long as she first envisioned?
Well, she's been tweeting or whatever, saying that, you know, because she's still writing it and
absolutely.
She's podcasting
right.
it and had kind of said, oh, wow. Yeah, this is going to be about twice as long as what I thought.
Thank God, because I just love it. I get all excited and everything. Hey, there's a new one. But it's just fascinating. I recommend that to anybody that has any kind of interest in, you know, religious studies mm-hmm. or, you know, philosophy or, sociology, anything
yeah.
like that. Because it's just a really interesting look at all types of subject matter.
And she just released episode 10. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any clue how long it's going to go. I would guess it's going to be in the 30s.
Oh, I hope. I would be a very happy Viv, because I could just listen to that for the rest of my life and be very happy. So keep on, Mer. Keep doing it. I love where she's going with it. I just love it.
Yeah.
Easily my favorite. I mean, you know, it's something that I'm actually, because you guys know how impatient that I say I am. It's actually right. something that I am willing to sit on the edge of my seat and wait and, you know, gobble it up when she releases it.
Episode by episode yeah. rather than wait for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because a lot of them, it's like, okay, you know, well, I'm going to wait until there's either a huge chunk or it's near the end or something like that. But with this, it's just like, it's here, it's here. So,
yeah. Another episode by episode patio book is Tumblr, Brand Gamblin, his first novel, first patio book. And I can't remember how many episodes in he is, 5 or 6.
I want to say he just released six.
Yeah, because he started the actual patiobook.com version.
Right, and you have to have 5.
And you have to have 5, right.
Right.
And that's really developing. I remember last year we were talking about NaNoWriMo, and we were all talking about the story ideas we had. And he laid out, you know, this is the book I want to write, and these are the characters, and this is the plot. And he basically told us the whole plot of what the novel is going to be, the
right.
story. And it's always just captivating. Listen to him narrate things
yeah.
or just talk about these
yeah.
plots and stuff like that. That is really animated the way he talks about
yeah.
the stuff and gets excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah. he actually... Well, he didn't finish it during the actual NaNoWriMo, but finished it shortly thereafter
mm-hmm.
and then started recording.
Yeah.
Allie's narrating. It's the point of view is a young girl.
Right.
So that fit. And it's been great listening to the really interesting characters. And it's very much very Heinlein-esque young adult fiction story.
I haven't started it yet because I know that I'll just be like, okay, where's the next episode? Where's the next episode? Just send me the damn thing and I'll read it because I know I'll get impatient about it. Yeah. I can't wait though.
And I started Kimi Alexander's Guardians, which she had launched
oh, yeah.
Just after Balticon.
Right.
Unfortunately, she got 2 episodes out and her mom became ill. And she's been with her, and she hasn't been able to release any of the last couple months.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's kind of on hold for now. But the first episode was just really pulled you straight in.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like this kind of tough bodyguard chick, which is always kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of Strange Days.
Oh, yeah.
Angela Bassett mm-hmm. is chauffeur slash bodyguard badass.
Right.
Character kind of reminded me of that, which is, I think, is fun.
Yeah.
So I can't wait until that gets going again and see where it's going to go and what's going to happen. And it has some supernatural elements. And I think ultimately it's like urban fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking like Metamore-ish stuff.
Cool.
But be interesting to see where it goes.
And prayers of good health for Kimmy's mom.
Yeah. I'm
sad to hear that her mom's sick and hopefully she's on the road to recovery. So I actually kind of want to back up a little bit. And when I got the job in March is actually when I started really listening to patio books again.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say it was the first that I mainlined was Moravi by T. Morris. And I have to admit, I had started it before.
Uh-huh.
Had some issues. It was the remastered. But the first couple episodes were really hard for me to follow. He and I have talked about this, and he totally gets my point. And you had said the same thing, where it sounds like it's him, but he has three different sound.
It sounds like there's three different narrators because it was different equipment at different points in time.
It was hard for me to follow. And so the first time I tried it, I didn't stick with it. But when I got the job, it was easier to do.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get past the first couple of episodes, the audio really smooths out.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, the cast. He's got Philippa Ballantyne playing Ascana. And just a lot of, I'm not a swashbuckler kind of gal, which surprised him because I love Cyrano so much. But on further reflection, it's the romantic Cyrano that I love, not the musketeer Cyrano. Right. So it's, I don't lean towards big action pirate adventures. I just don't. But I really enjoyed, and I think part of it was because it quickly turned from the pirate adventure. Don't think of it just as a pirate story.
Yeah.
It's really not. It's a much bigger adventure than that. And right. It's well written. The characters are well developed. It's, a really fun story from beginning to end. I really enjoyed it so much. And it's funny to me because I think back on it and I go, now what, how does he describe, the captain looking, Rafe Rafton? Mm. And I can't even picture what Rafe is supposed to look like as described in the book or what Ascana is supposed to look like. Cause in my mind, Ascana is Pip. And in my mind, Rafe is T. So that's just how they look. So if that makes T and Pip uncomfortable when they think of some of the events of the story, sorry, folks. I pictured you doing it.
I see the cover.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but and Ascana has black hair on the cover. I remember that. But now it's Pip. And which is confusing because Chasing the Bard,
right.
Scythe is Pip.
Right.
And William Shakespeare's T. That's just how I roll, guys. Yes, that's a peek into my world. And I'm guessing a lot of other listeners that have met the authors are the same way. They just automatically, to me, Ish is Nathan.
Right, right.
It's just how it is. Sorry.
Yeah.
But it works for me.
Yeah, that Moravi is a lot of fun. The main character, Rafe,
mm-hmm.
he kind of bugs me. He kind of bugged me through the whole thing.
How so?
He's kind of a dick. I mean,
he's a pirate, man. What do you want?
Yeah, but
pirates are supposed to be dicks. They're supposed to be self-serving and
I think it's too much. I don't think that he really changes.
Oh, okay. Well, and most people don't. I think that's possibly more realistic than a lot of happy endings.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. I guess in my mind, he didn't really earn it. So, if he had done something, shown me something that I felt was redeeming before that, then he would kind of, earn the right to be that way. But, the whole pirate, I always think of that kind of character. Like, I immediately want to think of like Han Solo. So he's doing this illegal stuff.
Yeah.
And, he's
like Mal.
But he's got the soft side. Rafe does, there's some romance and stuff like that. You can see that. But he's always still has this cocky thing going on, and I don't know. He rubbed me the wrong way.
Oh, what about Ascana?
I thought Ascana was a great character.
Yeah.
I thought she was, overall, I thought she was developed more. But, gotcha. I mean, a lot of it, it's all focused in her realm. So, yeah. You know, she is really the more of the focal point of the story. So it makes sense that she's fleshed out more in the history and the religion and all that stuff.
Relationships and stuff. That's true.
And she goes through a definite arc of her, how her personality changes and all that.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that. There's definitely
I just think the rape didn't really grow that much. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
And that's the hallmark of great novels and storytelling is, you know, it's those arcs and the development. It's and ultimately a minor thing because everything else is great.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. And he's going to be, hopefully sometime soon, he's going to be starting book two of the Moravi series.
Exodus Moravi?
So, I don't know what it's called.
I think that's what it's called.
I was very surprised to find that we don't have it yet, but you know.
This is the truth.
Immortality, longevity, an endless lifespan. Watching civilizations rise and fall. What would you do to become immortal?
My name is McAllen Orsel. I'm a genetic scientist in New York. I'm caught in a secret war between two powerful groups of immortals. I've been told that I am a messiah to a group of people I barely know. I'm forced on a quest around the globe to fulfill a destiny I never chose. If only I can stay alive.
From Krzysztof Lipucka comes The Leviathan Chronicles, an audio adventure like you've never heard before.
What is Leviathan?
I'll tell you as much as I know.
We have been among you for almost a millennium.
What? Immortal?
I can't know about Leviathan.
Die!
We're hitting crushed death.
Blow those charges.
No!
Miguel!
Nothing this big has ever moved that fast underwater.
I have no tolerance for your lack of commitment.
Why have you brought me here?
You are here because we need your help. The man you met earlier was named Whit Roberts.
I believe her condition is the result of an attack.
He's a liar and an assassin.
You are going to tell me what I want to know.
She was never trained for this.
She was bred for it, Anton.
Well, she doesn't know that.
The only question is...
You'll need to find the key, McAllen.
How much damage are we going to do in the meantime?
To discover the Leviathan Chronicles and get the next dimension in podcasting, go to www.leviathanchronicles.com. Immortality or freedom? Which would you choose?
And then right after that, I started listening to Crescent by Phil Rossi, which we kind of talked about. And
yeah,
I thought it was really good. It's very, I mean, it's full on sci-fi. You are in space on a spaceship going to planets and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Space station, yes.
I thought it was more of a suspenseful story than like a gory slasher kind of thing. It was a richer story than I had been led, not led to believe, but than I anticipated, because I really thought it was going to be shock value gore and that sort of thing, because that was kind of how it was appearing to me in the things that I'd seen of it.
Yeah, it's billed more as a horror novel.
I think it's much more suspenseful and and there's a lot of intrigue to it, because you don't really know what is coming, what has happened. There's this one little piece specifically that I would like to see more development of, as far as like a prequel. And that is when they go to the planet. And if you've listened, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't listened, go listen and then you'll know what I'm talking about. But it's Crescent by Phil Rossi that we're talking about. There's this point where they go to this planet and they go into this old facility and they find this something has happened and there are bodies in a certain way, in a certain condition. And I want more background on that. I want to know, it would be awesome to just have, okay, this is what happens in Crescent, which is like a continuation of something that's already been going on.
Right.
This is a piece of it. I want to know the before.
Yeah.
because that scene that he depicted really intrigued me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, ooh, what was that? Who was I would really love to see Phil develop that more. Well, I know he's moved on to other things.
Well, I know after Crescent, he released kind of an anthology. I think it was called Letters from the Vault. Something from the Vault. Letters, messages, something from the Vault. And I don't know if it delves more into the history.
Oh, okay.
But so they're like vignettes, short stories.
Oh, okay. See, I miss so much.
They may cover that stuff. I haven't listened to it yet. I've been meaning to listen to that and listen to Eden, and I just haven't.
There's so many things out there right now. And I know that I miss out on a lot of things when I'm not listening to it as it's being released.
Right.
And so it makes sense that I would have missed out on that. But okay, so that's two things I have to add to my list now. The Bill DeSmet thing and then this. So you're going to have to remind me.
And most of these stories, the authors will release them on their own sites week by week. And then they do the audiobook release. The audiobook releases are just the novel. Mm-hmm. It's just the story.
Right.
When it's on the author's feed, before they actually do the reading, they always give notes and talk about what's going on in their life and where they're going with this and doing that.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, they do, you know, they'll do talking about stuff and upcoming, you know, appearances and promos and that sort of thing. So if you're listening on the audiobook feeds, you lose all of that stuff.
Right.
You lose all that surrounding material. So,
anyways, I really enjoyed Crescent and... Mm-hmm. We need to get him to sign our books. Phil.
Well, now I know he's really close to my work.
Yeah.
I can meet up with him sometime.
Yeah.
As an aside, Phil recently had the actual publishing of Crescent.
On July 9th.
On July 9th, right. And so there was the big Amazon push, the rush, rush the charts. And did really, really well. And at the end of that day, he had put out a thing on Twitter, said, hey, you know, as a celebration, if anybody nearby, come hang out. And then I saw, like, there was like 10 minutes from my work.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and had dinner with him and his wife and his daughter and
celebrated
the Amazon chart rush. It was really cool.
I'm glad you went. I wish I could have gone, but it was just too much. And we had a dog at home that needed to be...
Well, that was quite a drive for you, but it was 10 minutes from my office.
It would have been like an hour plus for me to get there and then, you know, an hour and a half to get home and Kaylee would not have lasted and I didn't want to stay up till midnight cleaning it up. So, I'm really happy for Phil with the release of that and all that. Sounds like it went well.
Yeah.
What's next on your list, babes?
Another in the middle of it is Second Shift.
You got me hooked on that, not realizing that it wasn't done. Thanks, honey. Thanks ever so much.
They just they had a very long hiatus, like almost a year. I mean, multi month hiatus.
Which they explained in a recent one.
Yeah. And so they just kicked off a new episode a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping they're going to come a lot more regularly.
Yeah, because we're kind of hanging out there, dangling by a thread.
So it's in the middle, or I guess, I think it's towards the end of the second season.
Yeah. That sounds right.
And that's a fun...
It's a fun story. And it's an audio drama. It's kind of like the old radio drama kind of style is how I put it.
It's a full cast, sound effect, score.
Yeah. And the audio quality has gotten fantastic. The first season was kind of rough, but they've definitely made some great improvements for season two.
Yeah, as you can tell, they all record it together, so they actually have the cast in the same room and record scenes together and all that, which is part of the reason it takes so long to get out, because they have to get everybody together.
Right.
And then they have to go through and do the editing and all the post stuff. But it's a fun story. It's a fantasy. It's a kind of classic Dungeons and Dragons scenario.
And it's got so many cute little geek nuggets there to enjoy.
But it's a classic D&D scenario where you have modern day people and they get sucked into a fantasy world.
Yeah.
So now they're living by the rules of a fantasy world and they've come to find that each of them have inherent abilities in this world.
Right.
So one becomes the magic user, and mm-hmm. one is an archer, and one is the fighter.
Yeah.
And get into the politics and everything going on in that world.
Yeah. It's a good story, and it's well done, and it's fun. And like I said, there's a lot of little geek nuggets in there. Mm-hmm. And I just love when I hear, when I just crack up. they drop something, at least one thing in every episode that you'll go, oh, that's so funny. Or, oh, I remember that, you know, some cool little thing. And it's fun to see how they take like just three average working at a pizza place people and drop them into this other place. And it's just a fun little way that they've done it. I enjoy it greatly.
And I love like the character Mike, who's convinced that, oh, we're in a game.
Yeah.
Clearly we're in a video game. So what do we do? Well, let's go to the tavern. You always find everything at the tavern.
And then they were trying to find somebody. So it was like, oh, I know, you know, you've got to talk to everyone in the town to find out the useful information. It's just cute. If you talk to everyone, then eventually you'll find the person that has the information. It's just like, it's so cute. Yeah, it's really.
Yeah. And when they'll be stressed, I was, oh, don't worry. This is just a side quest.
If you're a gamer, you'll really enjoy it. It's cute. But the story is rich, too.
Yeah.
So. And then one thing that I listened to, Pieces.
Mm.
Have you listened to that?
I haven't started that. I keep meaning to.
The concept, and I want to say it was Nobelis's concept and that he started it and launched it. I know mm-hmm. that he was like the first episode and he was like,
I'm pretty sure it was all
filling
his
in the background.
Thought. Yeah.
I think it was all his creation. And forgive me for not remembering clearly. It was a little while that I listened to it, a little while ago that I listened to it. But the concept is basically that he's got, I think it was five authors, and he starts out and writes the first episode. Or chapter, or however you want to describe it, mm-hmm. 10,000 words. I don't know what the thing was, but he writes the first chunk of it. And then another author comes in and writes the next, kind of like a relay race, mm-hmm. they pass off.
Right.
The next author picks up and carries the story on. And then another author comes in and carries the story on. And it was Nobilis, and it was Christiana Ellis, and Chris Lester. Oh, sugar. I can't remember the other authors. I should have looked them up. But the thing that I thought was really, it was a good story. It made me really want more
mm-hmm.
because I think that the dynamic of having the different authors pick up is like, I could see, like specifically, I could see when Chris did his first, mm-hmm. it was him telling the story and going in what I thought was not familiar territory as far as Metamore City goes with, but I could kind of see where his writing style might take it.
Mm.
And then someone else picked it up and went, nipped it in the bud and went on a totally different, you know, kind of perspective and route. And it was just like, oh, you know, that's so cool. But I would have loved to see where Chris would have gone with that. But I really love where this has gone. So it was just really neat. It was, I think, a really neat project. I think it was wholly successful from a listener point of view. I mm-hmm. think it was really successful. And again, I would really love to see more of the story told. Because of the dynamic of it, I think it had to come to a conclusion pretty swiftly.
Yeah.
Like you've got story, 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 ending. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it was really good. So I recommend that as well.
Yeah.
And
I've been meaning to write.
You're writing it down. But I did enjoy it. And it's not like huge long. I want to say it's 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 11. It's not going to be a big burden on your iPod, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying. And it's well worth the time.
Cool.
And actually they had Heather Welliver do the music. She did this singing thing.
Mm-hmm.
That recurred throughout the podcast, which was really cool. First time I heard it, I was like, that's Heather. I know it's Heather. I know that's Heather's voice. Sure enough, it was Heather. I was like, hey, Heather's in the car with me. So that was cool. And then I think I've got two more things on my list.
I've been talking about the things that I'm in the middle of.
Right.
I have just finished Billabub Baddings, another Timora story.
That's on my list.
And listen to. Very different from Moravi.
Uh-huh.
Very different from everything else I've heard of him. And I loved it. It's the 30s noir detective.
Mm-hmm.
Only he's a dwarf who's got kind of like second shift. It's about portal.
Not a short person. No. A mythical dwarf.
Yes. from another land. Yes. A portal fantasy opened world. And sucked him into our world. Yeah. And he decided to become a detective.
Yeah.
A private eye. And it's you know, very much in that style with that type of talk and the descriptions. And so it's this murder mystery and a lot of fun. And Billy was just a really great character.
Oh, cool.
I really loved it.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet. I need to get to it. But
like you said, there's so much out there.
There's
that...
just so much. And I'm trying to do a little bit of everyone's. And since Tease was one of the first ones I listened to, I kind of wanted to go out. Because we've got so many friends that are always talking about the patio books. And I've been so far behind everybody for so long that I'm trying to get a taste of everybody's. And honestly, so far, I haven't been disappointed by anybody's.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that you got me listening to a while ago was the Shaughnessy, which Patrick McLean does. And there were, and I'm not quite sure how this evolved. I haven't listened to all of the Shaughnessy because there's a zillion episodes. Yeah. He's been out there for years.
Yeah.
But they're fantastic. I actually, when he gave out those little promo CDs at Balticon, I grabbed a stack of them. I gave one to my sister and one to my niece and other people like that. And my sister has actually come back and said, you know, I listened to that. That was fantastic. Oh, I really loved that. And I was like, please go. There's so many more episodes like that out there. Plus, he's done a novel based on a couple of the short, you know, the short things that he did in the Shaughnessy.
Well, Shaughnessy, it's Gaelic for storytellers. So the whole podcast is these short stories that he writes. And they're really very short. I mean, some of them are 5 minutes, some are longer stories, but really interesting.
And so there were a couple that reoccurred in the Shaughnessy, this How to Succeed in Evil, which my understanding of what happened was, you know, he'd done some short stories, but now he's put out the novel, How to Succeed in Evil. And so it was kind of funny to me to see how he took all these little bites of a story and how things changed and evolved into the novel. And I've really been enjoying that. And it was funny because there was one point where it struck me how something so simple as your intro music. Do you remember he had this one, and it might have even been on the Shaughnessy, but I think it was after he'd started the novel. He had this one song as his intro and outro, and then he changed it to this kind of real, I don't know, kind of sexy, slinky kind of kind of thing. And I was just like, oh, I really like that. I could throw that down at a party. I like it. And it just kind of like changed the whole vibe of the story for me. But it's a really good story about this guy. And it's that usual kind of, you see it more often now, I think, than when we were kids, where you see you've got the good guys and you've got the bad guys.
Right.
But you find out that the good guys are really not so good. And the bad guys are really just bitter because the good guys aren't really as good as everybody says they are. You see a similar thing in Playing for Keeps by Merle Lafferty.
Yeah.
Other stories, you know, like that. And so, but he does it in a really, in a kind of sardonic way, you know, kind of like in MERS, I feel like if you had a group of your friends and you were going through this, that's what it would be like.
Right.
But Edwin in How to Succeed in Evil is very upper crust, very elitist, very intelligent, and kind of looking down on most of us, but also pitying us because we're at the whim of all these, quote, superheroes and stuff.
Right.
It's just a really interesting way that he's written it. A great point of view. He's got a way with words that's very entertaining and fun. I mean, he definitely can turn a phrase.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So... And those chapters, episodes are short as well.
More or less finished it at the same time without realizing we finished it.
I know. I want more.
I was pretty disappointed at the end. And if you look on his blog and everything, a lot of people were very disappointed.
Yeah.
Because it just kind of stops.
Yeah. Which is great if he's going to write more. I can handle that if he's going to write more. If that's all he's given us, I may have to complain.
But... I was listening, and then a week or so goes by, and I'm like, what happened?
Which is the exact same thing that happened to me.
And I just went back and listened to the last four episodes again this week. To like, okay, does this make sense?
Did I miss
really
something?
End? And yeah, it ends, but
it
wasn't a satisfying ending.
And we don't want to give away too many spoilers on that, but... You know, that was my sense as well, is that it felt like something big was about to happen. And then no more episodes came. So yeah. I didn't realize it was the end either. And I'm just wholly disheartened and I want more. Which may be what, you know, he may be the ultimate cliffhangering bastard. He just ended the damn book. There's your cliffhanger. Take that.
Yeah. And so, yeah. It's a great ride though.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's so fun and it's so clever. So mm-hmm. you ought to check that out. And that's How to Succeed in Evil by Patrick McLean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy to say that I have now completed Murder at Avedon Hill, which I started probably 3 times, but I would get to where he had hit a, you know, an absence of whatever sort, mm-hmm. and then I would get caught up in something else. And when he'd release another episode, I just kind of was behind on it. So I was waiting till he had more.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually, eventually I just dropped it. Sorry.
The podcast that never ends.
Sorry, PG. Finally ended. Exactly. So I was one of those trapped in that. So I waited to restart it until it was finished, which I actually didn't do until, I think I started it about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because I finished it a while ago. But it was, when I had listened to the earlier episodes, I was, you know, hooked. I loved it. And again, it kind of goes back to what Murr has done with the Heaven series, with the religion and the mythology and the rich.
It's got a very rich world.
Very rich world. History and, you know, different religious factions that are in conflict with each other. And it's, I mean, I tried NaNoWriMo last year. Total fail. I think I got 6,000 words or something pathetic like that. It just absolutely blows my mind that people like him and Murr and Chris Lester, because he's done it with Metamore.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't know that he's gone as deep into it as PG has, or even as Murr has in War. You're writing a story and you're writing this whole complete other mythology as kind of a backdrop for motivations and character development and stuff.
Well, Metamore does have that a lot because it started as a community story.
Right. But as far as what I'm talking about, though, is that not a whole lot of that has been revealed to us. And Murr and PG have both revealed a huge piece of that. Chris has definitely shared a lot of it with us.
Right.
But the further you get into Murder at Avedon Hill, the bigger that becomes a part of the story. Right. It's like motivations, it's power, it's belief systems, it's motives and stuff like that. It's just phenomenal. And I'm really glad that I'm just so grateful that he finally finished it and that, you know, I was able to hear it. And I'm really excited to talk to him about it, you know, while we're at Dragon Con, because he's going to be there and he's going to be our roomie and stuff. And hopefully we'll be able to see each other at some point. I'm assuming since we'll be in the same room.
I never finished it.
I know. It's freaking fantastic. And I think you'll really enjoy it, knowing the kinds of things that we have in common. Mm-hmm. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a mystery. Because there's been a murder. That's not a spoiler. That's in the first 5 minutes of the first episode. There's a murder, and Aramis and his, I guess, acolyte, for their own reasons, they have to solve the murder.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different levels to what's going on in this town where they're trying to solve the murder. It's just, it's like, okay, you think you know what's going on, and then bam, something. It's like, whoa, wait, what? It's just so well done. And I definitely mainlined it. I didn't listen to anything else other than when War episodes would come out. That was the only thing that I put PGs on hold for, was to catch.
And it's another full cast.
Full cast. Probably. And oh my God, the production is fantastic. It started out strong, I thought, but the more and more and more he learned. And at one point he says, you know, I've used everything that I've learned over the last 2 years in this episode. I think it was the last episode had like 140 tracks or something like that, with sound effects and, you know, vocalizations and, or not vocalizations, but, you know, people reading their lines and all of that. So it was just amazing. I'm in awe of what he did. And he had a lot of help. He had 3 different people that were helping him with the editing and stuff like that. Paulette was one of them. And so, you know, luckily he had help, but he did a huge production with it. And it was just fantastic. I'm really glad that I liked it, because I would have hated to have said, it was really
good, Patrick.
But not really liked it. No, I really loved it. It was so good. And I'm really looking forward to, I can't remember what it's called, The Children, the Stories of the Children, yeah. Tales of the Children, mm-hmm. which is an anthology, which people are writing stories for the different children, which are different kind of godlike beings in this religion mm-hmm. that he's created. People are writing stories for it. Like, I think Pip has written one. I don't know who else.
Yeah, it did had a lot of submissions from a lot of known authors and unknown just people.
Yeah.
And because he opened it to everybody.
Well, so. You and I both wanted to write it. And it yeah. just, of course, came when everything went to hell in a handbasket for us again. So we weren't able to because I would have loved to have written something for that world. It's mm-hmm. just fantastic. But I probably would have never finished it.
Anyway. Yeah. It was just like Chris Lester had opened up Metamore and said, everybody write stories for that.
Oh, I wanted to do that really too. Wanted to,
had one idea to do something for that. And then just things happen.
Yeah.
And whoosh. Deadline came and went.
I had as soon as I heard Chris's announcement of that, I was like, I had an image come to my mind and I was like, oh, I've got to write that for Metamore. And of course I didn't have time. I'm still hoping to write it for that, even if he never uses it or anything. I still think it'd be cute. But cute in a Metamore way. Don't worry. It's not sparkly butterflies or anything. But no, I really enjoyed Murder at Avedon Hill and I can't wait till you like listen to it or read it. Because we actually got a copy. We got one of the last yeah. original print copies.
Yeah.
Which just made me gleeful.
Another new show that I started, which actually isn't a book itself. It's the H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast. Mm-hmm. So there's these two guys and they discuss each week. They take one H.P. Podcraft story.
Lovecraft. You said Podcraft.
Because it's hppodcraft.com.
Oh, okay.
They take one H.P. Lovecraft story mm-hmm. and they basically lay it out. They go through the plot lines. They go through, you know, they tell you what the entire story is mm-hmm. and what it's about. And then they kind of talk about, you know, what they thought of it. And they're very studied on his life and that. So they'll kind of talk about what was going on when he wrote it mm-hmm. and maybe what some of the influences were and stuff like that. Each episode's only like 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And they do one a week. And it's really, really well done. And I've never read Lovecraft. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think most people know something about the mythos and everything.
Right.
And have general ideas about it.
Right.
And it's one of these kind of classics that I've always wanted to get into and read, and I just never got around to. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like having the cliff notes of all of his writings, you know?
You're losing They go over cred. The
plot points and yeah. But he has a huge breadth of, you know, yeah. I think some people maybe only read a couple
Yeah.
of his stories.
Yeah.
And that's it. And they're going through his very early first writings where a story is basically a page.
Wow.
That's all he wrote in, you know, 1910 mm-hmm. or something. And it's really fascinating to hear what was going on at the time and in history and the time in his life and where the influences came from and all that stuff.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. So it's not an actual book.
But it's about books.
Yeah.
It's a book thing. I'm literally listening to nothing but books at this point.
Yeah.
I don't have, you know, I've got podcasts that I have in my catcher, but mm-hmm. they're not updating.
Yeah. I've really pared it down because at one point I was listening to, I think, 40 podcasts. Shoot. And on top of these audiobooks and things, I have maybe half a dozen that I listen to regularly now, week by week. That are nonfiction, but a couple are daily, like Geek Radio Dailies every single day. Although they're short, it's, you know, 10, 15 minutes a day.
Yeah.
And then a 1 hour weekly.
Yeah. That's not true. I've been listening to Geek Acres and Geek Survival Guide when they release. But really, the other ones that I have in my regular feed aren't updating as I cast a dirty look towards Culture Cast. Grail Wolf's Geek Life, although I understand theirs and
right.
Better Late Than Never and some others. I don't judge because God knows how long it takes us to update.
Exactly.
But there's just a limited number of them that are updating right now.
There's a lot of geeky podcasts I listen to that are very regular. Yeah. So there's a lot of content there.
Yeah. What else you got, babe?
There's a few that I want to start that had written the note down to put pieces at the top of the list. Because it's another one that I keep meaning to and I never do. So I want to start the Leviathan Chronicles.
Yes.
Which I keep hearing about. And it's not finished. It's still in production. But there's a good, solid chunk released. And I've been debating whether to just wait it out or start it. And by the time I finish some other stuff, maybe it will be done.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to start The Immortals again, which I tried. It's a book by Tracy Hickman, who's, world famous fantasy writer. And I started it. I tried it the first 2-3 episodes, and it didn't really grab me. But a lot of people I respect say it's the best audiobook ever written.
Well, and a lot of times it's where are you in your mindset when you start something?
Yeah.
I think if you're not open to something, or if something's got you weighed down another direction, then it doesn't catch you like it would another time.
So I want to restart it and see if it grabs me, but it really didn't the first time. And another one called Shadow Magic that regularly comes up in all of the top 10, top 5 lists on podiobooks.com. And I don't really know much about it, but the title keeps coming up. So I figured I got to try it.
Right. I'm wanting to listen to Weather Child. And of course, I said, the J. Daniel Sawyer antithesis, Down from 10. And what did you call it? Dr. Jack's Soapbox?
Yeah, Jack's Soapbox Seminar. I forgot to mention, I have been listening to Down from 10, which is in the middle of production. I think it's maybe halfway through.
You've listened to Antithesis.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think you've talked about it on the podcast before.
Yeah.
And you enjoyed that because you've recommended it to me.
Yeah. Really, really good.
And so Down from 10 is halfway through. So
Totally different. I mean,
I've got both of those on my list, but I think I'm just going to leave Antithesis at the top right now and start Down from 10 when it's a little further along, because I've got others that are done.
Mm-hmm.
And Christiana's doing a remastered Nina Kimberly, which I really want to listen to, because that's one that I started and didn't get very far in. So I'm hoping to start that up again soon.
Mm-hmm.
There's just, you guys are so creative. It makes my head hurt. It makes me, I complain about how long my commute is, but honestly, if it were a half hour shorter, I'd be wrecked because I'd have less time listening to my books. I get home and I can't listen to it. I certainly can't listen to them at work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, you guys keep putting out the awesome content because we are loving it. And we go through so many different things and so many books and podcasts and things like that. I know we've left a bunch of stuff off, but this is just the stuff that we made, we gave ourselves like 5 minutes to write a quick list. And so when we think of stuff, we'll add to it in our regular show. Yeah.
I had forgotten about Weather Child. That's one I want to restart because I listened to the first 2 episodes, I think, and it just did nothing for me. It didn't grab me. And it's and Pip said, she's like, it's weird that for some people, Jason the Bard was like that, where it didn't really grab him, didn't do anything.
Really?
But they absolutely love Weather Child.
Huh.
And a lot of people, for some reason, they're really polarized on those two. But it's another one where I want to give it another shot. Because sometimes, depending on what, like you said, what's going on in your life or whatever, sometimes I'm kind of distracted when I'm driving.
Yeah.
And that's what it is that I wasn't paying close enough attention. And then if I start it again where I'm focused, it'll be a totally different experience.
I have found, tried and true, 100%, I cannot start a brand new audiobook series as I'm leaving for work in the morning.
Mm.
I can't do it. I find myself repeating that first 10 minutes over and over and over. It's like my brain isn't functioning yet. So I will listen to the radio.
Mm.
If I don't have anything else to listen to, I'll even go, that's right, people, FM radio, because I know I can't start a audiobook first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm fine after work. I'm fine halfway through the morning commute, but I restart it and I get frustrated and I just turn it off. Wow. And sometimes that puts it further down my list, which isn't fair to the author. It's my brain.
Yeah.
So that's why I can say so, from experience.
And it's true for me too, because in the morning, the first thing I do is I'll pop in the Geek Radio Daily.
Right.
And it's kind of like morning talk show.
Yeah. There's your cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Your brain.
And then I'll listen to some other techie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm closer to the office, if an episode ends, I'll flip to random music on my iPod until I get to the office. Yeah. And then I'll listen to the music during the day, throughout the day.
Yeah.
If I'm able to, half the time I'm at meetings and on the phone, so I can't. And then when I get home, I generally turn to fiction.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't realize it's the same thing.
Yeah. I just don't think my brain's awake enough to follow specific storylines. And I get irritated if something comes up and I know that it was mentioned, but I can't remember the details of it. So then I got to go, well, how the hell was that? It's not like a book where you can flip back some pages. You got to remember what episode. Do I still have that episode on my iPod?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. So I get really frustrated if I'm not able to retain what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I back up. So that's pretty much what's been going on my iPod. There's other stuff too, but that's the big stuff that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm sure we've gone over our 30 minutes here, but and it's funny because we started out, you know, with the contest winner for J. Daniel Sawyer's print and talking about going to the Parsecs. And this has just been like an, you know, like a patio book kind of an episode.
Yeah.
Huh? We didn't want to talk about any of the deep stuff going on in our lives. So we're like, let's do a media review.
I think that'll about do it for us this week. This month. This.
Goodbye, August.
This indeterminate period of time.
While we've been dealing with the chaos of LT going and M starting school and some things going on here, we haven't really seen that time appear like, you know, we expected. But we're hoping to get back on a more regular schedule. We really appreciate those of you that have hung in there with us and waited out our little absence. And bumps in the road and stuff like that. And all the support and kindness that we've been getting on Twitter. Really can't thank you enough for that.
Yeah.
And so hopefully we'll get an episode out a week or two after Dragon Con.
Yeah.
And get back to a more regular schedule after that. Because it's really important to us that we keep this up.
Taking our fiber.
Getting more regular. Yikes, honey. So again, thanks for listening, everybody. If you would actually, if you'd like to give us some feedback, you could send an email to endtotheblender@gmail.com or leave a comment on the site at endtotheblender.com. And you can also leave us a voicemail at 413-669-4720.
Yeah, let us know what you're listening to. You know, if you have opinions on what we discussed.
Ooh, I'm going to ask a favor, guys.
Uh-oh.
Cross your fingers for me that we can scrape together the funds for me to jump out of a plane on my 40th birthday, which is coming up. I want to jump from a plane. With a parachute.
Yes.
With a dude and help. A parachute strapped to my back. Sounds kind of fun. So, yay! Jumping from a plane. On purpose, not getting pushed. Yeah. Anyways, hope you guys have a good couple of weeks, and we'll talk to you later.
Bye. Just sit back and indulge for a minute. You light the suns in all my worlds. It's hard time you believe. Thanks for listening to End of the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license.
You are free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content.
Just not modify or make money from it. Rachel.
Sally.